it's a miracle that I'm alive and that I'm here, but it's more of a miracle than what has God's plan has for every one of us here. I was born in San Francisco. My mother before me had three stillborns, two boys and a girl. I came out 8 months, very premature, very unhealthy. They didn't have the technology they had then. I was a month in an incubator, and I barely made it through that. But God had a reason. And so growing up, my father was a producer. My mother was a singer, piano player. We toured. And so growing up as a little baby, we traveled the country, and they did performances. I just grew up with music and theater, and it's in my blood. But my father didn't see and didn't foresee what television was going to do. So as he started growing up, the business started getting worse. Shows started slowing down, and he didn't have a plan B. And so they went from show business, the high life, a lot of traveling, to cocktail lounges. Just back then, they didn't know alcohol. And so they started drinking more and more and more, you know. And what happened is they just didn't have a value of life that so many of us are offered. They started getting bitter. They started getting mad. My mother was physically and verbally abusive. She blamed me for everything because I cost them so much money in when I was born. So it went from a time of traveling and show business to transitioning into a hard life of alcoholic parents. My father got arrested a lot and put in the drunk tank. I had to go down and see him. He tried to clean up. He just couldn't do it at first. So it was a hard life for my father, and my mother just had a bitterness that she never did get rid of. Ever since I was little, I played with ghosts. I saw the supernatural. I played with them, and I had no fear of it. And so I grew up in the spiritual realm, not understanding the difference. And being Jewish, you just know that you're Jewish. My father and my grandfather was an immigrant from Russia. The first time he tried to escape, they put him in prison. The second time he was able to break, he broke with the family and broke out of Russia. And so as a little kid, I still don't fully understand it, but they spoke Russian and Yiddish. But they didn't want to teach me Russian and Yiddish. They wanted to teach me English. They wanted me to feel American. And so I understand it when I hear somebody speaking it, but I don't comprehend it. And so that was their choice back then. They wanted to be U.S. citizens. They felt very strongly about it. And so so there was a lot more of a prejudice against Jews when I was a child. You just knew you were Jewish and you were different. And so you didn't really fit in with everything. My parents weren't real religious. We went on the holidays and holy days, and we just kind of knew that we were Jewish, but they weren't religious about it. And my father getting worse and worse into alcohol, he never did get back to the synagogue. But, you know, those things are ingrained as you as a child. The holidays, what the celebration of them, you don't really know a lot. You just follow it. And I just knew I was Jewish. Like people would say they're Catholic, you know. I didn't know. I'm just Jewish. I heard there was some guy named Jesus who died on the cross, but I didn't know anything about that stuff. And so I pretty much became an introvert a lot of years because it just they locked me in the room a lot, so I wouldn't see them arguing and drinking. But it just progressively got worse and worse. One thing that started the change is right around ninth grade. I got beat up a lot as a kid. And so, in fact, I was always getting beat up. And so I decided to stop getting beat up. And I started studying martial arts. And so I started studying that stuff that came out of my ears. But the first time I didn't lose a fight was I had played football. And I was a halfback, and so I played real hard. Toughest guy in eighth grade came up and punched me. And since I was in shape, he broke his wrist. I didn't know anything yet. but right after that's when I started studying martial arts. And that was God's saving grace in many ways for me. In December 30th, 1968, I walked in the room and found the 2 weeks before that, my dad was trying to stop drinking. And he picked up a Bible and was reading a Bible for 2 weeks. And so he was trying to clean up. Because I remember going to AA meetings with him at times, and it was just all the dry drunks, rooms full of smoke. And it was a lot of misery. And so I saw him doing that, but I didn't know anything about a Bible. I didn't know anything about that stuff. And Torah, you understand, and you've heard things, but you just don't know it. You just kind of, it is. December 30th, 1968, I walked into the room, and my dad was dead. He was blue, he was bloated, and he just like Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix, he went to throw up in his sleep and inhaled it, suffocated. And so we called a friend, and we called, they didn't really have 911 then, we called an ambulance, but a cop showed up, pushed me back with his billy club, getting the wrong call because he had gone to jail so much. And I had that experience with a cop running in there. That night at the hospital, it was a tipsy priest trying to comfort us. And so I lost it. That night, I went out to drink, and I hardcore drank, and I hit the streets. I just wanted to numb, and I didn't want to turn back. That's where the saving grace of martial arts. I didn't go overboard. I was numb, but I just didn't get down to Third Street. I didn't get all the way downtown. But, one thing, when I was 5 years old, I heard Adonai say, David. It was an echoey. There was absolutely nobody there, and I heard my name called. And it's funny, from 5 years old, it stuck all my life. And, every year, I remember December 30th. No matter what I'm doing, it will just pop in my mind, the day I found my dad dead. It's ingrained in there. But I guess we call it, I was a functioning drinking and drug addict. And everybody was then back then drinking. But I stayed into music. I did sound. I was involved in concerts. I got started as a sound tech with San Francisco Art Commission. And I got started with the Art Commission with international sound, international events. And I started working my way up and became music coordinator for the San Francisco Art Commission. And, international everything. One night after a concert, this guy came up to me and told me things nobody knew. Nobody was there. I mean, absolutely nobody knew. And I was sold. I said, what is this? And I dove into it. It was Santeria. It was voodoo. It was the first time I ever saw anything work in my entire life. And, I had Zen. I had Buddhism because of the martial arts. And that was, what is this stuff, But it was a way to keep my mind from thinking. And but when I got into voodoo, I dove into it. I mean, that power was unbelievable. And people think that, that voodoo is something there. When voodoo came to the United States, it came into New Orleans, and the danzón music, the bossa nova, is an Afro-Caribbean voodoo beat. It's integrated in so much of American music, and people are so naive, and they're not protected. You see the movie Harry Potter, that's real witchcraft. The devil gets in, he gets an ace in you, and he can use it any time on you. And you wonder, where did that come from? You start wondering about generational curses. Those things are so real. And you have to have the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach to protect you. You have to be able to walk in the anointing from heaven. When Gabriel argued over the body of Moses, he didn't say, I will do anything. He simply said, the Lord rebuke you. And so you can't run around saying what you're going to do against the enemy. He is a vicious lion. He is brutally wanting to kill anyone who turns from him. And so you have to have the power of Yeshua, the power of Adonai, the power of God, our Father in heaven. And that's why I pray here tonight that everyone will have that opportunity to hear and call upon his name. I was very, very active with that in San Francisco. There was a power when you sacrificed animals coming down. And when those demons came, it was very structured. It was very organized. It's a very powerful and rampant religion. It's in San Francisco. It's in New York. It's in Florida. It's in New Orleans. I mean, rampantly. And it is tradition. You know, when they came and got the slaves in Africa, they went to Western Africa, Nigeria, Africa, on the Oshun River. And voodoo began on the Oshun River in Western Nigeria, Africa. Way before I was saved, I started doing the history of that. And in South America, Central America, Haiti, Dominican Republic, they can practice that religion. They just have to use the name of Catholic saints. When I was into that religion, I used Catholic holy candles. I used Catholic holy water to do spells. It's so integrated in that religion. But I didn't know any better. It's like an adrenaline, the power you get from that. And so I was working and becoming a priest of that stuff, but things started going haywire. I had met a girl. She had three children. I instantly had a family, but it was the first time I ever felt a family unit of any kind because of so much dysfunction. You know, and I still studied martial arts. But, you know, it was out of hate. And so I hurt people, and I was numb, and I didn't matter because I wasn't being hurt. And God had to do a lot of humbling even before I knew him. But it gave me a discipline that I still use today. It was going way out of control. We went to California Hall in San Francisco to see a voodoo priest visiting from Africa. And he came up to us, and all of a sudden he jumped to the ground and bowed on the ground saying, "God bless you," to me. And I went, "What?" I mean, another thing, just like Mary treasured everything that Yeshua did, I treasured that. Another thing in my head, what was this? Little did I know what was coming. On July 12th, 1982, I had already been doing a spell to become a priest. There was a voodoo priest from Cuba that put a spell on us, and things were way beyond our control. Way, way beyond our control. The voices you see, the wind, I mean, that stuff is so accurate. You have to be so careful of movies. It's not just a movie. You're being exposed to darkness, and you have to be aware. This world is full of puppets. This world is full of stages that are set to hide just how deep and how dangerous the enemy is, and he's at our footstool. I looked over at my ex-wife. I saw her spirit start to leave her body. She was dying right there. I mean, that she was just literally dying. All of a sudden, she just yelled, "Pull over, pull over." I pulled over. She jumped up out of the car. All of a sudden, she started yelling, "God, God, I believe in you. Save me, save me." And nothing was happening. All of a sudden, she said, "Okay, okay, okay, I believe in your son." And the second she yelled, "Jesus, save me," everything stopped. And I looked and I yelled, "Yeshua, save me." Everything stopped. I mean, there was like a quiet peace after the storm, standing on the beach. And I didn't know what to do. I was, for the first time in my life, lost. We got a hold of her grandmother. They got a hold of her sister up in Rohnert Park. We drove up to there, and there was a counselor up there. And he said, "This is way beyond me, but I can get you a hold of somebody who can help you." And he got a hold of David Hunt, who writes cult-exposing books. And he was on the phone all day with us, explaining what Yeshua had fulfilled, the Old Testament, what was led up to the New Testament, that Jesus was a Jew, and I'm still a Jew. And so he explained what had happened. And so I accepted, July 12th, 1982, I accepted the Lord Yeshua. And that didn't slow down my path. I tried a couple churches. Oh, and the first person after that I called was Jews for Jesus. And you know, everyone else I was telling was all freaked out. When we went to clean out our house, we stayed in housing, went from a house in San Francisco to housing in Martinez. When we got a hold of people to come clean the house, and it was a layman from the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Spiritual Warfare Ministries, because they know the Sabbath. And so they came to the place. A 35-gallon fish tank blew up. A lamp fell on the ground. I mean, the freezer door opened up and 2 pounds of hamburger went and fell on my ex-wife's foot that broke. So, I mean, it got weird. But it wasn't anything on us. It was just around us. And that was the first time I experienced anything around us. Now, I don't recommend this to anybody, but I had to test God. I had to test Adonai. I drank poison. I didn't get poisoned. I will never do that again, by the way. But I had to see. And I had to have him punish somebody for me so I wouldn't do it. And he punished somebody so bad that I was prayed, stop, please stop. I actually saw the power of God. The Ruach HaKodesh. You know, it's not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. Well, in the spirit of Yeshua is power and might. And, you know, Adonai split the Red Sea. He raises the dead. He heals the sick. Yeshua is still in a miracle working business. And the Spirit has never left. So I started trying to go to churches. You know, Jews for Jesus was so cool. They said, oh, yeah, you got to talk to so-and-so. We're searching people. So, you know, everyone else didn't handle it. I tried a couple of churches. I won't name them. And I got so mad, I said, forget it. Yeshua, you saved me. I'm going to be with you. I didn't trust churches. I didn't trust a Sunday. I didn't trust anything, really. I was very leery. And so I read my Bible. I prayed. I still listen to true Christian music. And, you know, and I was on my own for a long time. And then I started stumbling. I started falling back in alcohol, back in drugs. And, that you know, I reached a point. My ex-wife wanted to still do that stuff. Well, she was running off with one of my best friends, and I lost it. And that was January 28th, 1994. And I lost it. I pulled out a knife, and I had it in my throat, and I said, forget it. I quit. You know, I've been through all this. I'm saved. I quit. All of a sudden, Yeshua yells, why? You know, out of anything I could have heard, that heart-wrenching why. When January 29th, 1994, I went to the Alano Club Martinez. I started realizing I wanted to live, and I didn't know anything about life. So I got real hard into recovery, and I started studying. I went to therapy, I went to counseling, and I got into the 12 steps. Everybody should walk in the 12 steps. It's just a balanced way of life. It just has a reputation, oh, that's for alcoholics. It's for everyone. It just keeps you a balanced walk. And so I don't know. I've known Galen for so many years. I got a hold of him because it was too far to go to the city for Jews of Jesus. So I've been off and on here for a lot of years. And I literally felt a supernatural slap on my face. My Bible fell to the ground and opened up to James 1:27, the true meaning of religion. God's view of religion is to keep oneself unspotted from the world and to help orphans and widows in distress. And so that's the true meaning of religion. You know, all of us know prejudice. This stuff's in the news lately about prejudice. You know, it's a sin problem. You know, it's nothing to do with color. It's got to do with the anger and the perception that they're putting on us. You know, we need to love God, and we need to love ourselves, and everything else will follow. And I've learned that the hard way. There's nothing easy about it. But I mean, I'm so tender now. I don't go boo-hoo-hoo, but I cry real easy because I feel the Spirit. You know, I feel the presence of God. You know, there's anger, all that stuff's gone. I've got a balanced walk, and I've got an ability to understand the will of God. You know, and that's what I pray for everyone here. If anyone has any doubts, if anyone really hasn't opened up to the understanding of Yeshua, come talk to me. Because, you know, I was leery on that. I heard that name. I didn't know anything about that stuff. But I know that name. I'm still alive. You know, because in 1994, I died. I watched myself on the operating table. You know, at 16, I popped a bunch of pills trying to commit suicide. I woke up in a bathtub and them slapping me around full of ice cubes, making me throw up, the street version. And so, I mean, I've died and come back. I've tried to die, and I've almost died. And, you know, I've come to understand, man, that God gives us life and life more abundantly. And it's through God's Son, Adonai's Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. Father, I thank you so much for tonight. I thank you that you've blessed me with an opportunity to share what you have done. Father, this is by no means by human hands. And it's nothing or any decision that I've ever made or can accomplish. But Father, I thank you that you can shine through me, that light can be seen and hope can be found. And we understand, Father, that eternity is a long time. So I pray anyone here that doesn't have the truth in their heart, Father, I pray that tonight can be the night to let them see truth. Let them make that brave decision. I pray in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach that they open their heart to the Ruach HaKodesh. Holy Spirit, come. And as Galen speaks, I pray that let it be as if the oracles of heaven are speaking. I thank you, Father, that we have the opportunity for truth and that we have the availability. Father, every step, the music tonight, how timely were these songs, the blessing of David and the worship team. And I thank you, Father, that you've ushered us in. And Father, in a time as this, in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen, dear Lord. Amen. Amen.